welcome to episode 169 of Your Overseas Connection. We are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly, and today is May 22nd, 2012. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy. Joining me this week, we have our dynamic duo from the UK, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hey, hey, hey.
Minecraft in check. Yes, Rich?
Mind check is in craft, Gregors.
Nicely said. And Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah. Is you Mike, is or is you ain't my lady?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
However, I do have a very special announcement. Before we go anywhere, guys,
uh-oh,
we have a new member to the Gate family.
We do, we do.
He's a future Gator, I should say.
Yeah.
He's not quite there yet. But Zachary Thomas Matthew was born at 8:37 a.m. yesterday, May 21st. And he came in at 8 pounds, 2 ounces, 20 and a half inches long. Excuse
20
me.
Inch rims, all he's going to say.
Yes, he's got some 20s on there. Mr. Christopher Matthew, our other U.S. host, is off apparently making babies.
Yeah.
Make babies. He made a baby.
He did. He did. He's got a couple of them. I guess he's got to replace all those cadets he's killing down in Alabama.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to recruit themselves.
So well done, Mr. Matthew and Mrs. Matthew.
Well done. Congratulations.
You have the courage to do it again. I take my hat off. All right. I guess with that all said, gentlemen, we might as well dive into what we've been playing.
Ta-da.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing... Rich, we already know what you've been playing. I don't think you've been playing anything else. It's been non-stop Minecraft for you, has it not?
No, don't say that. There's been a lot of Minecraft. I will accept that. I think I've probably put about another 10 hours into it. But yeah, I'd have to check Raptor for that. Great, enjoying that. And a quite amazing thing has happened with the Minecrafts. The great innovative talents of the Gate community have come up with an absolutely brilliant... what we'd like to call a workaround. Because, as you know, there's no servers that are actually sharing worlds, so a lot of people are just chipping away. And I find this a lot, that, you know, you don't want to go in other people's worlds so much, so you're just trying to do your own thing, get your own world built up. But anyway, Morecanics and Parsnip Nose came up with the excellent idea, and very generous one as well, of setting up a spare Xbox in both of their houses, which they're taking in turns to run under one gamer tag, and creating a Minecraft world. And having been on it for the last 4 hours, it's absolutely amazing. Really is cracking. So what they've done is they've got this one Xbox with an account set up. A bit like, I did read as well after they set this up that I think official Xbox magazine have been doing the same for over a week now, where they've been just running one in the office and everybody gets on and just does what they want. And they've only had it going, I think, for about 3 or 4 days, the Gate Boys. And there's some amazing stuff gone up. It is awesome. Basically, you pop into that server and you pick your own spot and you do what you want. And tonight, I went on a rescue mission. Them Chilean miners, they got nothing on me. Acid Nova got himself stuck down a hole, I tell you. And I had to go on a rescue mission. I got him. And then we went looking for some obsidian. And I just got myself 40G for building myself an obsidian portal. So, yeah, still playing the Minecrafts. If anybody's in there that's a Gate member, definitely get yourself a friend request out. There's a forum thread as well, and you can tell how popular this game is with all of the guys on Gate because it's running massive. They've had to set up a sub forum as well for Minecraft on its own, and it's just blown up. Unbelievable. Some of the creations are in here as well. We've got underwater houses, which unfortunately, I don't know if Corzan listens to the podcast, but that's Jeff. But I did had a slight flooding incident in his subterranean house, which I plugged up. I tidied up after myself because he had a mine going down there, and I thought I was going to help him out with it, and I accidentally tapped into the water that was above because he's created this ceiling underneath the sea, and it looks amazing.
Fucked it all up.
No, I didn't. And don't panic, mate. It's all right. You'll see it tomorrow. Fooper's done the great house, which I've basically just gone up to his bed and left a note by his bedside saying, "Foops, you were great last night," and signed off on that. Skull.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Minecraft's great. I love it. Co-op-wise, it's just awesome. It's unlike anything I've played ever.
Okay. Excellent.
And along with that, I think at least Mike's going to have a conversation with me about this. I did an impulse buy last Friday.
I know what you bought, and I almost did the same thing, but I held strong.
It's Max Payne 3. And, Mike, we're going to have to get into this. It is a very good game. I'll just say what I really love about it, right? I've played Rockstar games, and I'm not as big a fan of Rockstar games as Mike. And as some of you might...
Crazy, because you're crazy.
No. I do respect everything that they do. I love the storytelling that they do. And as you might have noticed from past games like Red Dead, and probably not GTA, because I won't podcast at the time of playing that, I take a hell of a long time to finish these games. But I do always finish them, because I want to get the story done.
Right.
This, for me, is my ideal medium for Rockstar. It is their full production put in to just one great cracking story that you can play. And I've not played a game with this sort of production and the soundtrack and everything. I've just really just, it's immersed me into the world. I would say as well that the gunplay, because there's so much to do with regards to the bullet time and everything, that it's the most enjoyment I've got out of the gunplay in a Rockstar game, because sometimes it is a little bit janky, like GTA I found was a bit hit and miss. So, really enjoying it. What do you think, Mike?
So, mainly, I've played the multiplayer.
Okay.
I played a lot of the multiplayer. And I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I don't think it's going to be a multiplayer that sticks forever. You know, I don't think it's going to be, Call of Duty or whatever. It's a good multiplayer, but it's about the same level as Uncharted. You know, it's a decent multiplayer. Nothing wrong with it, but not enough to get people coming back. I'm enjoying it. I do really like it. I've been playing it a bit, but I doubt I'll be playing it in a month's time or so.
Yeah. Do you not think as well that's a general thing that you can accept now with a Rockstar game? Well, when they do a multiplayer, you get a good month out of it, and then
I think GTA is an exception, and also Red Dead Redemption is an exception. Like those multiplayers offer something different. I think multiplayers in general are rich. Like people move on very quickly in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter what game it is. Even if it's Modern Warfare, people just kind of get over it. It's a good multiplayer. I really like it. Won't be playing it forever. But I did start the single player today, and Stu was saying, "Oh, there's a really long video at the start, like a cutscene at the start," and it just was not long at all. You know what I mean? It was just nothing. It was just, I mean, it was a pretty, you know, not a short or anything, but it wasn't so long the way he was going on. Like it was like a JRPG or something. Anyway, It's great. It's the story's really simple. Like, it's not complicated. It doesn't overcomplicate things with, you know, storyline. It's just you're Max Payne and you're looking after this family, and some people want this family dead. That's pretty much what the story is. And, you know, it's really cool. The missions are cool. I've just done the mission where you're on the football field. And it's really good. Yeah, really enjoying it. Max Payne's a very good character. He's flawed. He's not perfect. He just wants to have a drink. He doesn't really care for much. The voice acting is great. The animation's great. The gameplay feels good. I started the game on hard, though.
Right.
Free aim hard. And I stopped halfway through because that was tough. Yeah. So I didn't bother in the end. I went back to just normal free aim. It's manageable now. I'm getting through it okay. But if I play it on hard, I think I'll just play it kind of lock on thing. But at the moment, I'm happy playing it normal. Just, you know.
Thing I found with it is as far as the single player is concerned is. It's one of the first games when I've been willing on the cutscenes, because I love the transitions as well between the actual cutscenes and going into the actual gameplay, because it seems flawless. You've got barely any loading times.
It's all in the background, isn't it?
That is the coolest thing about it, the way that it just. Yeah. Throws you into, say, a set piece, because there are set pieces as well where it will do. A bit of a cutscene, and that cutscene will take you straight into like a set piece that you've got to perform to get into more gameplay. And I'm really loving that in itself. I've only played, just for the record, I've only played, I think it was Max Payne 2 on a PS2.
Yeah.
And I never got on with it. I didn't finish it. The whole bullet time. It seemed a bit more arcadey in that as well, that you could get away with doing a lot more of it, but they've not gone for that on this. It seems like you can't...
It's definitely a bullet dodge, though.
Oh, yeah, and it's there, but I found myself quite reluctant to use that, unless what I tend to do with that is, if I'm getting near to the end of a group of enemies, then I'll try and finish off with a grand finale with a bit of that.
I use it all the time. I'm bouncing around everywhere.
Do you?
Yeah. Every corner, every opportunity I get to do that super cool dive, I do it, and it never gets bored.
So now, Mike and Rich, quick question for you guys. Do you feel like maybe... I know a lot of people have kind of pointed out that Max Payne 3, because they included the cover mechanic, that they've kind of also made Max Payne a little more fragile.
But he needs to be fragile
for that.
When you hear his character,
right,
and where he is in his life, he seems as if he's a bit fragile. Anyway, he's getting older. He's completely out of shape mentally. He's unstable. He's probably been like that all the way through him. I don't know the back history.
So he's not been the most positive of characters in the world. He's probably a little bit fitter when he was young, but not now.
Yeah, but the story's showing him as being, you know, he is a bit more vulnerable, and when he takes a knock, you can feel it. So the actual way that they're showing that on screen runs parallel with the way that the gameplay is as well. So I think that holds up quite well. As far as the whole story and everything's concerned, and that's what it's all about. It's all the story for me.
It's not a complicated story.
No, it's not, and it's not. And I've got a question for you as well. Being as I'm not a PS3 owner, is this on par, or is Uncharted better than it? And is this the same sort of roller coaster ride that you'd expect from Uncharted, or is Uncharted more? Or what?
Well, it definitely has similarities to Uncharted, definitely. But I think where, you know, this is more like a Sin City film, and Uncharted is more like an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, so
there's plenty of action in both, but this falls into the noir, and Uncharted falls into the action, and this takes itself very seriously. You know, it's pretty cruel. I mean, you won't get anybody shooting somebody on the, in the face on the floor in Uncharted, you know? I mean, it's still pretty violent, obviously, you're killing everyone, but yeah, it's more of a rollercoaster ride. There's more like set pieces in like larger, grander set pieces in Uncharted 2 and 3. Whereas Max Payne, there are those moments that are like, wow, that's amazing, but it's more, it's just more serious. It's just more mature.
Yeah.
I keep saying more.
I think I'm near, I'm not too far from the end, and I'm not going to spoil any of the...
Oh, right.
The story, but as
so you're further
far
than
as...
Me,
I'm on second disc, and you know, things to do with characters have come to fruition, so it feels like I'm not too far from the end. But the pacing of it is awesome, because whilst there's action all the way through the game, the way that it ramps up towards the end and the way that the story turns, it's definitely up there at the moment. It's the first game I've gone out and purchased this year, and I feel completely justified in doing it, because it's a very nice game, and I love the little mechanics that they've put in, and like I say, I might be late to the party and this might have been done before, but the things that they've put in there whereby if you've got a pack of pills to pop to get your health up and you're running low, and then it'll automatically drop you into slow-mo.
That's a new thing, I'm pretty sure.
Is it?
Yeah,
and you've got to put a shot to the guy that's actually hit you to put you down, and if you can do that, then it makes you automatically take the pills. Some very clever little touches in there that I've never seen in the game before.
It's like a little last stand, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Get that guy before like within a certain time limit, then you're back. You're okay. But you use a painkiller, so it's not a complete you will never die move.
Yeah,
it's clever. It's very clever.
And so the guys at Rockstar as well, I rate them alongside Tarantino for picking scores for their games, because
the music
in this game is brilliant.
Music's always good, and it sounds similar to Red Dead. You can hear a bit of Red Dead, and you can hear a bit of GTA in it as well.
But
it's the same crew.
Yeah, but they pull the whole, you know, because of the setting being in Brazil, they pull the whole thing with like samba style. House music and all that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. The nightclub stuff is good. Yeah.
Yeah, and the cello bed that's sitting under there all the time, when you're like cutting between large portions of the main theme of it and everything, it's really.
I mean, you can hear that in GTA themes as well, and you know, the Ballad of Gay Tony that had it, and Red Dead has it a bit. Very similar scores, but like different eras and different.
Yeah, they get
them as well. It's very cool.
Nice diversity in there. Yeah.
What else was I going to say? I can't remember. But it's oh yeah, the other fun mechanic, which they don't really brag about, is if you run over a weapon and hold Y, you'll roll and pick it up.
Yeah.
Which doesn't matter how many times you do it. You know, if you got a group of enemies in front of you, and then you see a gun in front of you, and you roll, pick it up, and take them all out in bullet time, diving forward, it's just the best feeling ever. So, yeah, it's so good.
Character animation as well. I love what they've done with setting it apart from generic shooters as well. The amount of times I've seen any sort of shooter when you pick up an additional or large gun, and it gets slung over the shoulder... In this,
he carries it.
He carries it in his one hand. He's got his pistol in the other. If he reloads with his pistol, it's just so well thought out. They've really put the work in behind it, and it looks brilliant.
They've even done that with the cutscene. So like, if Max Payne's just got a pistol, he'll enter the cutscene with a pistol. But if you're holding a two-handed weapon, right, he'll take down the two-handed weapon, still hold it in his left hand and take out his pistol, so he's just looked like he swapped to his pistol. But he's still got the large weapon. They catered for both situations in every scene, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, really.
They did it. Yeah, they really thought they... It's all about kind of, you know, making sure that none of those, hey, I was holding a gun, now am I holding a different gun in the cutscene happens, which sometimes happens in, like, Gears of War or something. Those little touches, the way... Max Payne moves. They really want all the movement to look like so realistic. They've done that since GTA 4. You know, they've done that since the table tennis game. They want movement to look realistic now, and that's what they've always gone for in pretty much every game they've made. They want that character to move exactly how you expect it to move. In L.A. Noire, they didn't even give you a prompt to open the button, you know, open the door. They just, you know, it was just intuition, really. You just kind of walked up to the door and he would open it. And they have a bit of that in this as well. Like, you walk up to a ladder, he just walks up, or he goes through a door, you don't have to like, press a button or anything like that. And he just, it's all animated, it's all catered for that little scene. It's brilliant. Fantastic.
Even the dead ends as well. Even the dead ends, just nice little touches.
He
well.
Knocks the door, yeah. Like, even if like there's a door that's locked, he'll try and open it.
Yeah.
All right, lovebirds, calm down here.
Best game
Let
ever.
Let me ask you a question. Well, that's actually part of my question.
Oh.
You think this game has a shot for your personal game of the year? You think it has a shot of being game of the year?
Well, everything else is being pushed to 2013, so probably.
That's pretty fair.
I'm sure one of the questions in the news this week is which game got to push to 2013.
Well, here's a, you know, I mean, this is going up against GTA 5.
It won't.
Well, we'll see.
GTA 5 will come out next year.
Yeah, I'm with Mike on that. I don't think that's
no way they'll release two games in a year. This is ludicrous.
Awesome.
No, it's not. So... you know, what else is coming? I mean, Graw is definitely like a challenger. Like, I'm picking that up this week. Halo 4. What else is coming? You know, Black Ops 2, obviously, and
Assassin's Creed 3.
But they, you know, I mean, we've, in all fairness, I know it's not a new IP, but we haven't had a Max Payne game for a while. I think it will win a game of the year somewhere. It might be mine. I don't know. I haven't really gone that far into the single player. I've gone far.
Trials into, Evolution.
You joke, but I'm sure someone pick that.
I'm kind of serious on
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I think
that's definitely up there. I mean, Minecraft is going to be up there. Trials is going to be up there. I think Max Payne is definitely a runner. You know, it definitely is going to be a runner.
So this absolutely is then for pretty much anybody. Worth checking out.
Oh, yeah. I think if you enjoy any third-person game, you know, whether it be open world or a linear shooter, give it a go. If you haven't played Max Payne 3 before, you don't really need to. All you need to know is that his wife and daughter are dead. Spoilers for the first game, by the way. And, yeah, that's all you really need to know. I mean, it is... It's fine for anybody that hasn't played the Max Payne games before. I can't really remember what happened in them. It's great. It's a great game. Very cinematic. Very enjoyable.
Hey, on a side note, I believe is it Walking Tall? Is a Denzel Washington movie?
No, it's Man on Fire.
Man on Fire.
Yes.
Says it's a Man on Fire, yeah.
And how do you guys think it compares pretty well?
Well, yeah. He's in Brazil. He's looking after a very rich family. I think in Man on Fire, it's a woman in it that he's got to look after or something.
Yeah.
Man on Fire, he's looking after a little girl.
Oh, is he? That's right. Does he set somebody on fire or something? Or it's something to do with his ass. He, like, sticks it up to his ass. His ass.
Recall.
I mean, that's another Denzel Washington film. He's been in so many. I don't know, but I always get confused which one Man on Fire is. I just know that he wears like a Hawaiian shirt in it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
So ironically, so does Max Payne 3.
A little bit. I mean, I suppose there are some similarities, but really it's I don't know.
It would be interesting to watch the movie again and maybe make some comparison notes and find out just how much the story parallels.
It's funny you say that. I was looking for it yesterday.
It's like saying, you know, Mafia 2 is a lot like Godfather or something. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, it is, you know, because it's in New York.
Well,
and it's...
Subject matter certainly is, but in this, there is some odd similarities, you know, hired as a, you know, ex-cop, hired as a security guard for a rich family down in, a South American country. He's hired to protect a girl, in this case, an attractive woman.
Yeah, she's an older girl.
Right. You know, and things go south, she gets kidnapped. He's now, you know, basically
maybe it was
on
an influence, but I was thinking about this just before we came on the show. I was like, I wonder, I'd love to ask Rockstar why Brazil, you know, why did they go to Sao Paulo and why didn't they set it in New York? And I've just got to the section there, Primrose, you'll know where I am, where you're in New York, you're in New Jersey, and you find out kind of why he leaves, yeah. Which is very good. But I mean, it's a little bit kind of like, not really, but it reminded me of Kalito's Way a little bit. And
yeah.
It's cool, right? But still, I would like to know why Rockstar like chucked him out of New York. And I think the reason why I think it would be is, you know, you've had two games with Max Payne in New York. Maybe he would want to move away. Maybe he just want to get out of New York and start afresh. And that's kind of what he talks about in the game, trying to start afresh, and it's not really working out.
The editing and the way that it cuts back as well does do a really good job of explaining why and to what point he hits when he does actually take the plunge, but you can see that he's thinking about it. So
a slight nod to Jersey Shore as well. I liked basically some guys walk in that look like they're straight out of Jersey Shore, Greg. And he just calls them pricks and everything. So so as you can tell, that's slightly influenced by Jersey Shore. So,
Hey, Rich, by the way, you didn't answer the question. What do you think? For you, possible game of the year?
I was going to cut in and actually give you my answer on that. What I'd say is, with it, at the moment, it's sitting and quite comparable to what I thought about Alan Wake. For me, that game just... It was a killer for me. I loved it because of the fact that, A, it had a wicked soundtrack. It was brilliantly cut. It had production values that basically sat with me like a good American TV series. And that's what this is doing. So I think it's got a really good chance of at least getting in my top five. And at the minute, like Mike says, with things getting put back, I'd say one of my main contenders this year would have been Bioshock Infinite, because that is my... marker game. It's like the thing that I've had on this generation of console that I've thought everything else has got to beat.
There doesn't seem like many great. I mean, Halo 4 probably going to be a very good game, right? It's a bit of a don't
but
know.
But it's not something that sticks with you, is it?
Halo 4 could go either way. It could be
if it's great,
not as good as the old one, or. Yeah. Brilliant reinvention, or you got Assassin's Creed 3. We've had Assassin's Creed game every year since 2009. Black Ops, we've had a Call of Duty year since fucking 2004. It's
Last of Us.
I mean, The Last of Us might pip it. Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of Grand Theft Auto 5, I know you were saying, well, there's no way they'd release two games in the same year, but we know they've pushed BioShock Infinite into 2013. So you're trying to tell me now they're going to release Grand Theft Auto 5 and BioShock Infinite the same year?
Yeah,
GTA 5 is not published by 2K Games.
Yeah, it's not as big a link as everybody thinks.
Everybody thinks that they used to be published by 2K Games, but not anymore. Rockstar published their own games now.
Well, it's being published by Rockstar, but 2K owns Rockstar. So, I mean, there is a certain amount of influence there.
But they're not publishing it. I don't think it's going to affect it. I don't think it will come into the factor at all. I think GTA 4 will come out next year. It will come out next year. There is another game this year that I think is going to be cool, but it will. I'm pretty certain it won't be game of the year, which is Sleeping Dogs. Right?
Yeah.
Sleeping Dogs looks cool, but I've kind of got my like. Well, I think it's going to fall in some areas or not going to be as fun all the way through, but I like open world games. I like running around doing stuff and third person open world games.
It is hard to see Sleeping Dogs becoming this brilliant game given the fact that it's been in development hell for
4 years. It was not a true crime game, then it was a true crime game, and then it wasn't. It's like, well, okay, but I don't think he's going to be game of the year, but that's kind of like the only. I mean, you got Borderlands 2. But there's only a handful. There's not like loads coming. It's not.
Well, we'll find out probably more in a couple of weeks.
Maybe. Okay. I think E3 kind of announces games for next year.
Typically,
maybe there's somewhat less leave. I hope
when's Colonial Marines out?
Next year.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, you could be treading on Greg's quiz. You never know if you say that.
Never know. But hey, let's
move on very quickly.
Let's finish what we're talking about, which is games we've been playing. So Minecraft, Max Payne 3, Rich, anything else on the list that is worth talking about?
No, that's about it, mate. That's it for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, Mike, I know we talked about Max Payne 3 in depth, but there's another game that, you know, you never know. You might think, hey, this could be Game of the Year. No. Spec Ops The Line.
Won't be, but it's very good. And it's a good third-person action game again. I don't think it's going to be anything amazing. I don't think it's going to be worth purchasing. I do appreciate that it's trying something different with the military shooter. And it can't be any worse than the old Spec Ops game.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Yeah. I think the story actually is going to be its biggest windfall. And the gameplay and graphics are actually going to probably be its downfall because it doesn't do either one of the latter.
The cover mechanics
well.
Are a little bit messy, little bit.
Yeah, it's all serviceable. It's all good
the
to
guns
to
are
decent.
Okay. The guns are fine.
Yeah, but it's not like you don't get you don't start playing it and think, oh my god, this looks amazing. Oh my god, this just handles fantastic.
No.
But you do have a little bit of that kind of sense of, wow, this is kind of interesting story.
Duke was right about, he said, like, you wish you could kind of command your squad a little bit more than you can. Because there was one moment where I told them to advance and I just covered them from above, and that was really cool. And it's like, oh, there should be more moments like this. But, I don't know, I think it's going to be like a fun, 7 hours, do you reckon? And then you move on, pretty much.
Yeah, I am definitely with you on the more rental than purchase at this point. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of one of those instances where I think the demo probably hurts that game more than it helps it.
Why?
Because I think more people are playing that demo and getting done with that demo and saying, yeah, it's a good rental.
Yeah, but I think maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Spec Ops doesn't have the best brand. People don't have a fond memory of the recent Spec Ops, the Noid Ops one. But the ones before that were okay, but I don't know. I don't think people really know what it is as much. And it's changed direction so much to what it used to be. And I think just awareness, really. I don't think awareness can hurt it at all.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Mm.
And the awareness probably maybe helps it out a little bit more.
Oh, definitely.
Point.
Like, if I was the publisher there, I was like, you're better off with the demo than not. Yeah, but you got to make sure it works. And it's a good demo. Like, it's well.
I enjoyed it.
Good, yeah. You know, the helicopter thing's good, and the music's good, and the characters are quite, you're different to each other, and you know what's what. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It may surprise me. I doubt it will. But low expectations usually lead to a good game, so you never know. You never know. I haven't been playing anything else, though.
Okay. Well, for me, it's really just been The Witcher 2. I've had a very limited amount of game time this week. Held off on picking up Max Payne 3 because I knew I was going to be getting Gras 2. Or sorry, not Gras 2. Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
You can get Gras 2 for very cheap.
I could get Gras 2. I used to have Gras 2.
Yeah, man.
But it might actually be on my front doorstep right now.
Yeah, you choosy release boys. Making us wait till Friday.
I'll probably get
it's not my fault.
Thursday.
Yeah, I've shop-2'd it, so hopefully it'll come Thursday.
Amazon.
You know what? I'm going to play it all the way through and send you guys messages and just spoil the whole thing.
Yeah. I'll be ignoring you, and you know that you'll be getting WhatsApp messages.
First spoiler, he's a soldier.
Right, there aren't going to be any spoilers in that game, apart from, things blow up and stuff.
All right, well, let's move away from what we've been playing. Let's talk about the new releases for this week.
Sweet!
All right, so now playing on a Wii console near you.
Wow.
Men in Black, Alien Crisis.
I saw a gameplay footage of it today. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah, movie tie-in game should be the first clue.
Ah, hell no. That's Will Smith's line every minute.
On the PS3 this week, Dragon's Dogma, another big title coming out from Capcom. A lot of people talking very positively about that.
It's not it's got its flaws, though, apparently.
Well,
not perfect. Yeah,
not perfect. Not perfect, by all means. Ghost Recon Future Soldier out this week. We already know about Men in Black Alien Crisis. And another big title for the PS3 this week that I know a certain Mr. Conger's picking up, Sorcery. Move required.
Is this that one from E3? At last.
Yes. Yes. Finally makes its way to the retail shelves. Budget price, which is nice. And honestly, I think the very first game in like over a year that is a move required game. You have to have move to play it. So, you know, I hope it does well. I hope it does well.
It doesn't seem to be, you know, marketed very well, does it?
I didn't know a bloody thing about it.
All right,
you can't turn the corner without seeing Max Payne 3. Jeez.
No, but I do. You know, we all read like a lot of websites. I've not read bugger all about this.
Yeah.
PSN games this week. Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Yep, that's out this week.
Yep.
Alien in the Dark, The New Nightmare. Yeah, that happened this week on PSN. Doctor Who, The Eternity Clock. Dungeons & Dragons Daggerdale finally makes its way to PSN. Need for Speed Most Wanted, Super Hang-On, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, Siphon Filter, The Omega Strain, The Revenge of Shinobi, Wonder Boy in Monster Land, and Wonder Boy in Monster World, in case you want the follow-up, all hitting PSN this week. And on the 360, you've got Dragon's Dogma, Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Men in Black Alien Crisis.
Ooh.
Yeah. Joyride Turbo. Yeah, I know you were all kinds of excited for Joyride.
Is that
Joyride,
like the Kinectless one? Or is it...
I don't know if it's a Kinectless.
You don't know all care, do you?
Not really. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 face-off content comes out this week. I believe this is now available for everyone to buy for $15.
I tried it in Modern Warfare 3, by the way.
Yes, you did.
I tried it in.
You hung on...
with Bully. I got 14 quid for Bully. Jesus. What else? Dragon Age 2 and some other shit.
I don't know what it was. Deals of the week this week, Mike. Outland, Clash of Heroes, which I know Rich is all excited about. Not really.
With
Beyond Good and Evil HD comes out on sale this week as well. So everything half price. So Beyond Good and Evil HD, 400 points. It's not a bad price for a full game. Let me tell you that. And that's it for new releases, guys.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so it's news quiz time, guys.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of the show now, Greg.
It should be your favorite part of the show, because this is the part of the show where you guys show off just how smart you actually are.
Aliens, Colonial Marines.
Mike, how much is the Battlefield 3 Close Quarters DLC going to cost gamers? Is it A, $10, B, $15, or C, $20?
Or D, 40 quid rental per month, and you can do what you want with the DLC.
I'll go for the 1,200 marks, the $15 more price points.
That would be good, yes. EA has confirmed that it will cost $15, which kind of alleviated some fears, because GameShop.com actually had the DLC posted up for $30. But EA has confirmed $14.99 will be the price point, which also translates out to, I believe, 1,200 Microsoft points. So there you go. Something to look forward to. Mr. Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
In a bizarre turn of events during the court case involving the Call of Duty franchise, details on Bungie's next Destiny game were revealed. And it appears the game will indeed be exclusive, but to whom will it be exclusive in the year 2013? Is it A, the Xbox 360 and next Xbox, B, PC only, or C, the PS3 and the next PlayStation?
So what was this? Like, I missed the start. What game was this?
We're talking about Bungie's next game, Destiny.
Ah, okay.
Right.
So what do you think, Rich?
I think, from what I heard, this game is rumored to be an MMO.
Right.
Now...
Google's not coming up fast enough for you.
No, it's not. I'm just I'm chopping chunks, mate. As normal, I'm digging a hole.
He's using Internet Explorer Connect.
No, with it being MMO, I'm going to rule out Xbox 360 and 720, and I'm going to say that this might be entry level PC.
Okay, well, unfortunately, you ruled out the wrong choice,
yeah.
My friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a 27-page document that was released in the courts with the case between Activision and Zampella brothers, West and Zampella, basically it laid out the whole deal that Bungie has with Activision. And they actually, in there, spell out that Destiny will be released year over year, beginning in the fall of 2013, and Bungie has also agreed that to put out four downloadable expansion packs, codenamed Comet, every other year, beginning in the fall of 2014. Now, furthermore, into the document, it will initially only be available on the Microsoft Xbox 360 consoles, potential successor. Yeah. Which the contract refers to as the Xbox 720.
What was the whole point of them moving away then?
Well, it's intellectual freedom, mate. They don't have to make Halo games for the rest of their lives.
Well, the following year, then its other successors would then open up to the PlayStation 3
and
PlayStation
4. There you go. But like Microsoft, if it was up to Microsoft, they would be the Halo makers. They would make Halo forever.
Yeah, that sounds like as well as if that was a bit of a payoff type thing. You know.
Maybe that might have been
a little bit of a payoff type.
That sounds reasonable, though. Like, okay, whatever you make next, just make sure you give us a year. There you go.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I think. But like, they probably pitched this to Microsoft, and Microsoft went, nah, keep making more Halos, and it's like, you know what, we need to get out of here. This is exactly what happened word for word, by the way, if anyone's interested.
Exactly. All right, Mike, question for you. What game released last year now has a Game of the Year edition coming to the PAL regions? Is it A, Dead Island, B, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, or Crysis 2?
I'd say the Capcom Marvel thing.
Yeah, Mike, it's Dead Island. Yeah, Dead Island, Game of the Year edition. Yeah, you heard that right. It's going to be including the Bloodbath Arena mode, the Rider White storyline and weapon blueprint for the Ripper.
They would add all the DLC, and I couldn't remember any DLC that came for it. So.
Yeah, and isn't there some sort of criteria for making claims like that? I know you can call something like an Xbox Classic, but I can't remember it getting any awards.
It probably got an award from DeadIsland.com or something.
Exactly. It just that was one of those things where I came across that piece of news. It struck me funny, so I had to throw it into the quiz. All right, Rich, speaking of other things that are striking me a little interesting, what are the damages that have been assigned by the judge in the Silicon Knights versus Epic court case?
Ooh.
Is it A, $1 per claim, B, $100,000, or C, $1 million?
Well, I wouldn't mind knowing what the quantity of the shares are to use the $1 per share and actually get a rough idea of what that might be. But these people don't go to court for anything less than $1 million in America, do they? Over here, you can go to court for £20 if you want. That's fine.
Damn but straight.
You can't do that in America, I'm sure you can't. So I'm going to say £1 million. $1 million.
Well, Rich, Silicon Knights will be entitled to $1 in damages per claim if it wins its court case against Epic Games over the inadequacies of the support of the Unreal Engine. So this was assigned by the judge. Now, Silicon Knight didn't provide a breakdown of the damages it actually saw, but the judge assigned that dollar per claim. So in theory, if Silicon Knight wins the case, they would be able to appeal how the value was chosen. And well, let's hope they can actually maybe increase their winnings off of that above a dollar per.
That sounds like the sort of case that Judge Judy should be dealing with. You know, when somebody goes in and says, "Well, me and him split up, and he's got the video recorder, and he right. just gave me the Betamax one, so that's no good for me. Now I want my
Quiet.
VHS back."
I'm talking now. That's my Judge Judy impression.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think we all probably could have said this belonged on Judge Judy, even when the court case first came up. But
So, for simpletons like me, Greg, explain it again.
Okay, so in essence, Silicon Knights had failed to provide a breakdown of the damages it was seeking. So the judge said, well, if you can't provide damages to me and a breakdown of the damages, I am going to arbitrarily assign a $1 per claim damage amount to this court case. So, in essence, it all depends on how Silicon Knights is trying to represent this. If they're trying to represent this as per video game sold, they're able to claim $1 in damage because they didn't get the Unreal Engine support for each edition that went out.
So that's $3.
Yeah, exactly. They sold roughly, what is about 300,000 units of Two Humans, so that would be about $300,000 in damages. So by no means is that nearly what Silicon Knights would like in damages in this court case.
Not a lot when you're talking business.
No.
Business I do.
Yeah. So speaking of financial trouble, Mike, 38 Studios has run into a bit of financial trouble themselves lately. Yeah, so according to the loan that they were given by the state of Rhode Island, how much was the first payment that they were supposed to be making to Rhode Island? How much was that supposed to be? It's the first payment, A, $1.125 million, B, $1.155 million, or C, $1.255 million.
So I'm all thrown off now because I'm sure there was a 7 in there, but the first one. I'll say the first one.
You would be correct. Yes, 38 Studios did give over a check for $1.125 million, which ironically, when they first gave it over to the state of Rhode Island, it wouldn't clear.
Yeah.
But since then, the state of Rhode Island has told everybody that it did, in fact, clear.
Unfortunately, though, what else has happened today to the 38 Studios?
I haven't heard what happened today. I know they couldn't make payroll last week.
No. Today, they've had to lay off a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, we knew that was coming. 38 Studios is basically in a huge mess. And
I thought that, you know, that kind of thing where you know, all the press are following him outside, and it's like, oh, I don't want to talk right now. I thought that was all fake. I thought it's like, oh, this is a fucking good viral video. And then after a while, I was thinking, hang on, this is real. This is, people are really upset here. But obviously, it's kind of like a state affair. Yeah.
Well, it's not so much that, because what they're saying is, as well, it's the implications for the actual the state that's going to inherit the debt and everything.
Yeah, well,
the way that deal's been cut is...
Taxpayer after paying it, don't
they? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the taxpayers funded this loan, and Rhode Island officials believe that the total of the $49 million that they've loaned so far to 38 Studios has already been spent.
Yeah, and didn't he pay himself back from the guy.
Yeah, Kurt Schilling, yeah, who initially invested $4 million in the company, apparently paid back himself his $4 million. Now, I don't know that that's been confirmed, but it certainly has been the allegations out there that he already paid himself back his $4
million. He invested $4 million into the company, and then when he got this loan from the state, he immediately went, I need $4
million. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
So, I mean, the good news is they made their first payment. The bad news is the next payment due is November 1st, and it's $2.6 million that they need to make payment then. And unfortunately, I don't think they have another game coming out anytime soon.
Which is
it's 2013. But here's even more bad news. 38 Studios will then owe $12.6 million in full annual debt services for 2013.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not looking good for 38 Studios.
Well, we got a good game out of it.
Well, ironically, Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning could soon be owned in full by the state of Rhode Island.
Cool. They're gonna release a DLC for it.
Yes.
Where you shoot the developers.
All right, Rich. This is a tough one. According to the International Trade Commission, what is the bond value that's being recommended for Microsoft to pay over its patent infringement with Motorola? Is it 100% of the declared value of unsold units in inventory? Is it B, 7% of declared value of unsold inventory? Or C, 2.5% of unsold wholesale value of inventory? Aren't you glad you took this question?
Wow.
Can't see it being 100%.
It's all businessy and stocks and politics.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for the second one.
That's a good call. Yeah. So Microsoft has been basically recommended that they post a bond equal to 7% of the declared value of unsold Xbox inventory already in the country. Interestingly enough, Microsoft wanted that to only be 2.5%. That was the second one or third one, option of unsold wholesale value. And not surprisingly, Motorola said, no, it should be 100% value of what their declared value is. Not even the wholesale value, but the declared value of unsold Xbox inventory. So this is an ongoing feud, but the most important thing is that it is looking like Microsoft is further kind of going down the rabbit hole of this injunction against them from being able to sell Xboxes overseas, and I think Microsoft's going to come out on the losing end of this one. It's just everything is pointing against them right now. So they're going to have to make a big payment to Motorola, and it all basically centers around the fact that the new Xbox S's, and it's only the Xbox S's that are being potentially blocked from being imported, utilize Motorola technology, which I have to think is the Wi-Fi inside the Xboxes. So, yeah. All right, Mike.
Okay.
You are next. What is the name of Sony's latest free-to-play first-person shooter on the PC? Is it A, Bullet Run, B, Bullet Time, or C, Bullet Stop?
Bullet Time seems the only... Oh, I'll say Bullet Run. Bullet Run.
It's a good call. Yeah. Bullet Run was announced today, yeah. First-person shooter will be free-to-play online PC game. Sony pulling out all the stops.
Yeah. Bullet Time will be copyright Rockstar.
I don't think it is, mate.
I think it is. I've seen it on the description of the, you know the role thing. I saw that on the website when I was reading up before I did my impulse buy. I'm sure it had one of them R's next to it.
I don't know. I think Bullet Time's been in a few games, though. Maybe they have to pay for it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems a bit weird, though. Well.
Rich,
mm-hmm.
This is almost foreshadowing. Rich, what? So we know about BioShock Infinite being pushed.
Mm.
What other Take-Two game has now been pushed back further into the release schedule?
Tough.
Is it A, the first-person shooter XCOM game? Is it B, NHL 2K13? Or C, Borderlands 2?
I'm going for the XCOM first-person, because
yes.
We knew that anyway.
Yeah, well, it's been pushed back even further now. So now it's going to be coming out sometime between April 1st, 2013 and March 31st, 2014.
How do you feel about that, Greg?
You know what? I've got my XCOM game coming.
Which
one? I could care less about this
one's
one.
One's like a proper strategy game and one's like a
first-person
shooter,
XCOM,
right?
What? XCOM Unknown Enemy is the kind of... turn-based strategy game, and that's the one coming out this holiday.
That's the one that people care about, right?
That is the one people care about. XCOM, first-person shooter, not so much.
Can I just give a little bit of insight? What I heard about this a couple of months ago, apparently they've took it completely back to the drawing board. And
they've done that two times.
Yeah, but from what I was hearing, the description of what the gameplay is, and this is from a guy who's actually in the studio... It sounded as if it's going more down the route of Mass Effect.
Yes,
so
I would agree.
you might find that it is going to be a bit more of interest when it actually does resurface again. We'll wait and see.
I think that the fact that they have pushed this instead of just outright canceling it means that they think they've got something here.
Yeah.
They just need to tweak it in the right direction. And my guess is that when the fans heard about XCOM Unknown Enemy and the way they reacted to the more traditional enemy types and setting, that 2K or Take-Two said, you know what, let's pull this back and
this
let's get this in line. Yeah, we need to put this in line with the other one. People are interested.
Which makes sense, because look at the whole debacle with Raccoon City and so on.
But, agreed. Yeah. All right, last question, Mike.
Okay.
Especially for you. What movie can Nolan North now add to the list of his credits? Is it A, Dark Knight Rises, B, The Amazing Spider-Man, or C, Star Trek II?
Star Trek.
It is, in fact, yes. Apparently, J.J. Abrams is a fan of the Uncharted series.
Oh, yeah, he's a big nerd.
And so he said, you know what, hey, we're doing Star Trek, you want to do it? And Nolan said, I would love to.
Of course
and there
he
you
did.
Go.
Of course, he's not
so
an idiot, that's all.
Yeah, he's got a small little part. Apparently, he met when they were doing some work on Super 8. But, Nolan North getting a little FaceTime in Star Trek 2.
He's probably thinking, finally, all this game shit's paid off.
Yeah. Well, that is it for the news quiz. I think about right now we should head into our break. With luck, I will be playing a bit from Max Payne 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if I couldn't download it, then you'll be hearing something from Assassin's Creed. But, that's my backup plan.
Assassin's Creed music is always good.
Yeah. It's a new little remix I came across that...
So what's this Mass Effect one?
Max
Payne. What's that one? Is it just the soundtrack?
It's just soundtrack from the movie, yeah.
From the game. Whoa.
É só insegurança. Fui nessa cabeça e os bico cansa. Expressa, estressa, é claro, cansa. Whisky, neon, pouca luz, ela dança. Aí, tô eu e meus demônios como sempre. Os de sempre, cigarro, uma da frente. Sem fé, sem fé. Tudo que fala mente. Fundo do poço, osso, dono da docente. Amor, busquei tipo samba, dolente. A luz camba, perna bamba. Dependente, uma cruz no plexo. Reflexo deprimente. Por entre os dedos a vida ia. Pique água da pia fria. Ave Maria, mano, um ser humano. Estado de humano, suado humano. Qual orixá me passa um pano? 2012 é o mundo se acabando. E foda-se. Avisem que o céu está ruindo. O que é pior? Chegar no fundo ou continuar caindo? Quando se inverno cruzei, passei sem anjo pra cantar. Assassinos free, povo calmo como Kennedy. Gueto tipo NG, pico treme se vê que ainda somos public enemy. É um, dois, pra explodir, pique do remi e boom. Acabou, sem zoom de câmera ou da câmara. Pô, é o que chega pra nós. Quebrada é bomba, defeito moral de quem não tem moral pra falar nada. Coturnos escuros, soturnos futuros. Vou comprar com juro, sou jogo duro, sem furo, puro, apuro, naturo, seguro, eu me curo contra os ideal obscuro do governo, cartel ou canto, meu papel é ensinar o povo a dizer, sem abrir pernas como quem dança, can-can, a nós cabe, odiar inimigo do povo, viu, caçado, queimam favelas, controlam a mídia e distorcem a informação, seu mandato tem dias contados, nossa luta não, quantos infernos cruzei, passei, sem anjo pra cantar. Quando o mar atrás.
Alright, so community mailbag time. Yeah, last week's question, what E3 rumors do you want to see come true? So guys, let's throw it on the table. What would you like to see come true? Is it the Wii being more powerful than the Xbox 360 or the PS3?
Nope.
Is it GTA 5 coming this year? Being announced on stage this year?
Rockstar don't really make much of a presence at E3. So to be honest, I mean, I suppose I would like, you know, GTA 5 to come out this year. Like, I would, but it really doesn't bother me that much. You know, I'm not going to be splitting my hairs out and just going crazy if it doesn't. If they said GTA 5 definitely coming out this year, I still wouldn't be convinced. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I just can't see it happening, and you don't believe everything they say. And I don't know. I suppose an E3 rumor that I want to happen. I don't know. I don't know.
It's funny because as soon as you start to think about it, I mean, we hear so many of them, and you kind of forget about some of those rumors are. So
you know, there's not going to be many. This is kind of like the show before the show, this E3, because we know that next year's E3 is going to be dominated by new consoles.
Right.
So we already know that the Wii U is going to take probably most of the attention.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the swan song of both. The consoles, it's going to be, these are our best games, these are going to be, you know, the games that see us out. So it'd be nice just to get new games. Every year we always say, just be nice to get something new. Any rumors or anything like that, I really don't care.
There's the dashboard rumors with the 360 and the Internet Explorer. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. You'd see how it works. I'm thinking that it's going to be more kind of for the Kinect people. Because I'm not that fussed about getting it, but, you know, some people who, you know, I just have an Xbox in the living room and it's their media player, it'd be really nice if it was a Internet Explorer as well, because my mate Marsh, he was saying, like, you know, oh, it's good now, I've got Netflix and I've got all this on my TV. And I says, oh, you can get, like, smartphones now, smart TVs now, and just get one of them, and because he wants a new TV. I said, get a smart TV, you get internet on it and everything. And he's like, well, I could just use my Xbox and get it that way. And I was like, oh, well, okay. So,
Rich,
it's a cheaper option. What about you? It's a cheaper option than buying a smart TV. Is what I'm saying.
No, it is. I guess it is at this point, but you never know.
Yeah, TV's go down.
Rich, what about you? I mean, you know, Wii U, is there anything with the Wii U that potentially excites you?
Ha!
I mean, there's rumors that the Wii U controller now has analog sticks. Is that something you want to see to come to fruition?
Somebody said to me that Minecraft was going on Wii U, then I would be very interested. No. What? The one thing, and it's probably a curveball, and I'm probably going to get derided for it, and I know they've denied it, but I'd love them to do it. I'd be really interested to see if Valve did the Steam in a Box.
Right, the console. Steam Box, yeah.
If that came to E3, I've got a feeling that would be something that I'd start to take a very keen interest in. Yeah, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I have a feeling that is less likely to happen only because we don't have a Valve press conference scheduled at this point for E3.
Yeah, and they've haven't they already said that we're not announcing anything new? Like, they just said they're going to show games like Dota and what's it called, Counter-Strike. They're just showing stuff that they've already announced. They promised they're not going to show anything new.
I know, but this is what I would like.
It has happened before. People have said, like, I think it was David Jaffe, he said, "Oh, I'm not working on a Twisted Metal game. I'm not doing it. I'm not working on it. Don't worry, it's not that." And then he came out on E3 with a fucking ice cream van and declared and everything, saying, "Oh, Twisted Metal 3." So you never know.
Yeah, the one thing I would like to see is something that we've not heard much from now that everything's gone quiet with Mass Effect 3. Just possibly a big surprise one from, say, BioWare.
Okay.
"Hey, we've been doing this, but nobody knew anything about it." You know, something like that.
Yeah?
I like the surprise ones. I like the surprise
ones. What about you, Greg?
I think for me, I really want to see the rumors that the Wii U is more powerful than the PS3 and the 360 come true.
God.
I want that because I want to see the industry push forward with their next round of consoles. And I fear if the Wii U is just kind of on par with what we've got now, that there's not going to be any incentive for Sony or Microsoft to really kick it into high gear.
No, yeah, them dev kits are out, so they've got the schedule set. I don't think there's going to be much of an impact on whatever happens.
Because, like, say if the Wii U is about just a little bit more powerful than the Xbox or PS3, I still think, you know, especially PS3, because they love to chuck everything in their products, they would say, the Wii is, you know, holding back, it's just doing what it needs to do, whereas we have the most powerful, we have the most, the fastest, the most RAM, we have the most biggest hard drive.
Right.
So I think it would give them even more kind of cause to go even push the hardware even more. So,
yeah.
And the Xbox, I think the next Xbox will be powerful anyway, like, regardless. It's half a gig RAM at the moment. They need to beef it all up. I think developers are crying out for more RAM and the crying out for like quad core or whatever the hell they like.
True.
They loved all that shit. So, and it'll stop things like loading screens being so long and all this. And yeah, it'd be cool. Don't worry.
I can say, I don't expect any next gen console announcements from Sony or Microsoft. But I would like to see either both or at least one of them announce, you know, an immediate price cut. Not what we've already kind of seen with the $99, you know, 2-year plan.
PS3 is possible. I reckon I could drop the price of the PS3.
I still think Microsoft is going to do something. My gut tells me it's not necessarily going to be a price drop, but it's going to be moving forward. Every console bundle gets Kinect included at the cost points, you know, for the console bundles. So in a sense, dropping the console prices for the bundles. But I wouldn't mind seeing actual bona fide price cuts across the board.
I think the PS3's got the biggest chance of dropping something. They can drop their price point like $50 or something and still be doing okay.
Then I might get to play Uncharted.
It would be worth it, mate. If they drop their price again, the Uncharted game, Little Big Planet.
Uncharted definitely is worth it.
Uncharted Little Big Planet is some of the. I think you really like Little Big Planet, Primrose.
Little Big Planet, I couldn't care less.
No, but like, think about it. Think about how much Primrose is loving Minecraft now. You know, Little Big Planet is perfect for him.
No, totally different. Totally different.
Well, it is, but you know, it's.
How do you know, Gregors? You've never bloody played Minecraft.
I have played Minecraft.
Well, get your arse on it now, then, and see how it really is.
All right. I'm going to jump over to the lag forums. Rich, in between your Minecrafting, I want you to jump on the Gate forums and check out what we've got going on there. So over on lag, that's Lousy at Gaming, we had Jason Blade throw in an answer. He says he hopes that the Xbox 360 is getting a web browser. And he says he wants the Xbox 720 to be released in the next year and have a Blu-ray drive.
Damn, that's never going to happen.
Never know. You never know. Of course, Natalith responded, "I unfortunately just learned one of the rumors is true. BioShock is being delayed until next year." Then Gregarious, Geargarious, responded, well, will the Tomb Raider finally be released this year?
Nope.
Apparently not keeping up on the news.
No, that's delayed as well.
GamerGirl27 gave him the bad news, yeah. So
I'll still be at E3, though, I reckon.
Yeah. But the real Defoe said he wants to see Nintendo teaming up with M&M. And apparently there's a rumor with an M&M mature game presentation with Acid Ghost. And kind of a laugh. M&M would be so much more cooler than the orchestra they had last year. So yeah, M&M on stage at E3.
Like, I could see that happening. That's dumb enough to happen.
I can see that happening with Sony, not with Nintendo.
That's dumb enough to happen. No. That is almost stupid enough to happen. M&M will sell out to anything. He's a big seller these days. He'll just do like, whatever. Yeah, oh, M&M, yeah. I'm so street and hood.
Rich, I think we had just one response over on Gate, but if you would be so kind.
Yep. David the Alien, he said the rumors that he hopes wouldn't come true would be for Battlefield paid subscriptions.
Unfortunately, I think that is going to happen, David.
Yes. I think he believes
premium content subscription, just like Call of Duty Elite. Yeah. All right. Mike, I think we had one email, if you would be so kind, from Mr. Bed Hairdo.
Ah. Andrew Gold, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just... Why is it in weird boxes?
That's my fault.
Ah, dodgy copy and paste.
Yes, dodgy copy and paste.
Okay.
My fault.
Fair enough. So Andrew, Gang of Crimes, Mr. Bad Hairdo, emails us and says, just wanted to say thanks to the G4TE community being able to hook up with other people playing Max Payne 3. Big shout out to the community for making my multiplayer experience a lot of fun. I've played some games with them. Pudloit, Acid Nova, Jonesy, John Mouse, and PG Tips. Sorry if I forgot anybody else, but happy... You forgot me, Andrew. But happy to be firing my SMG alongside you all. Hope everybody's listening and gets a chance to dive onto Max Payne 3 campaign and its multiplayer. It's fantastic, Gang of Crimes. It's even made him stop playing Skyrim. How about that? He's been playing Skyrim for, like, God knows how long now. Almost as long as Duke. So, cheers, Andy.
Yes, thank you for that.
Nobody plays longer than Duke on Skyrim.
He's on his third playthrough now, and this is on like the two platforms. Just
Chris may try and give him a run for his money now because apparently he is like in love with Skyrim. So
yeah, but all he's got is a PC in his right hand to entertain him.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. If the only game I had was Skyrim, I would love it too.
Yeah, he does have a new kid too, so I think that's going to cut into that playtime. Yeah. Although he might be looking to do PC time while the kid's asleep in the lap. All right, so let's move on. Question for next week. We were thinking long and hard, and okay, not really, but. We want to know, E3's around the corner. All of us every year, at least those that are, you know, kind of keen to the gaming news, we get interested in E3. We kind of plan our week around E3. So how do you, our listeners, our fellow gamers, how do you guys consume E3? You know, are you reading websites the day of the conferences and just getting the news stories as they roll out? Are you watching Twitter, you know, and just religiously watching all the new feeds come out? Are you watching the actual conferences online? A lot of different sites and stuff are streaming them. I know this year the Xbox 360 and PS3 both are going to have their personal conferences available through the services, so you'll be able to watch the Microsoft stream live as well as the Sony stream live right from your console. You know, how do you do it? How do you take in E3? So think about it, give us the feedback, and we'll talk about it next week.
Sweet.
In the meantime, we've got some Playdate stuff to talk about. And, well, there's not a lot going on right now in the community.
That's because everybody's here.
I know, everybody's in Minecraft. Yes, Rich, we know. Minecraft, Minecraft, Minecraft. But there are a few things going on. We do have the Gaming Score Challenge going on. Yeah, so check that out. In fact, Mike, if you want to jump in and find out who is leading that charge, it might still be
PG Tips, yeah. I'll have a look in a sec. But
The painting challenge in Forza 4 is still going on. The blues and twos theme, so that ends in May. So you definitely, if you're interested and you like painting cars, it's one to check out. I know the Trials Evolution Cyan Cup is going on this Saturday, the 26th of May. So if you are interested, jump onto the forums. There is a post in there on the event side. Sign up for it. And then the Forza 2 R2 Championship, I believe, is still going on too. So lots of stuff going on there.
I've got one for you.
Do you?
Yeah. They're running impromptu raffles in the gate. Minecraft world. So basically, this is how sad we all are. They're setting up like raffles for people that have been into the world and stuff. And if you win the raffle, then they give you a big chest full of rare artifacts and stuff that you can have. Hey, nerdy or what?
Yeah, you know.
Just said that tonight. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Sorry. I got two things to say. PG Tips is still winning with 7,000.
Oh, jeez.
Odds of Microsoft points. RT84. John Mouse is doing well. He's third. I'm third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. I'm not doing too bad. I'm eighth.
Not too bad.
What? 920? That's not too bad.
Better than a sharp stick in the eye.
I still feel like I've not got going yet with it, though. You know what I mean? I still feel like I haven't
broken out Barbie's Horse Adventures yet.
No. I mean, I could. It's not on my friends list. It's not on my game score.
You had one other thing you were going to say?
Yes. The play date this week on Veteran Gamers is 6 GMT Gross Mountain Time in the UK. He's Max Payne 3 on the multiplayer. Surprise, surprise.
Max Payne 3?
I might join you for that.
Please do. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't tried the multiplayer, it's a good chance to try the multiplayer. But if you have, then you know what you're doing. Depending on how many people we get, we'll have a private game. But if it's not that many, we'll just jump in the regular game, and there'll be a party of us, and we can play large team deathmatch. There's plenty of people. Large team deathmatch is a little bit easier because you live a little bit longer because there's more people to die around you. So yeah, it's a good time. Give it a go.
Good times. There you go. Good times indeed. Speaking of good times, birthdays. We had quite a few this week. Acid Nova had a birthday this week. In fact, I believe he has a birthday today as we're recording.
Happy birthday, Acid Nova.
That's who I saved.
Yes, you did. You saved him to live another birthday. Desert Rat 131 has a birthday this week. Gondorian Knight had a birthday this week. And Bagman Assassin.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to all of you.
A year older.
I spoke to Bagman today in this Minecraft world when I first entered it. And he says, after about an hour and a half of playing, he says, I've got to go now. He goes, because I've not had anything to eat and I've been on this since 11 o'clock this morning. And this was about 7:30 at night. So wow. People, stay fed, stay hydrated while you're mining. Okay?
How long do you think Rich will continue to reference everything back to Minecraft, Mike?
Well, I think referencing is a lot like playing Minecraft. You have to go and dig deep into your research and craft something out of nothing.
All right, continuing on with the birthdays. Dave Dog turns another year older this week. Pilgrim turns older this week, as well as Impaired and Rico Jalapeno.
Rico!
All turning a year older this week. And new members, well, we're still looking for some. No new members this past week. So, hey, get out there, spread the word.
Spread the word.
Let's get some more people to join up and apparently play Minecraft. We do have a community spotlight this week.
Yay.
So I want to play that right about now.
Ta-da.
Hello, peeps. This is Parsnip with another weekly community spotlight.
This week, I want to mention all of those people who've been playing Minecraft, particularly Marcanix, who set up a G4TE Minecraft server, which has enabled all of us to play together all the time, building up some pretty fantastic cities. If you don't know about it yet, come and join in, because the space is running out. No, it's not really. We've still got loads of space. But there might not be any diamonds left by the time you get there. So, anyway, thanks, Mark, for doing that, and thanks to all of you who've been keeping me company, building pointless things in a pointless little pixel world. But isn't it a lot of fun? Anyway, till next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Parsnip. We appreciate it. And, gosh, guys, kind of brings us up to the closing notes. So, Rich, emailing this show, we had this big kerfuffle. Phil Olson was saying he emailed the show, sent a couple emails. We said we never got them. Well, Phil, we got all of your spam emails this week. Yes. I think he sent a total of 6 emails to us, one after the other, basically saying, did you get this one? Did you get this one? How about this one? What about this one? How about now? Yeah, we got you, Phil. But send us something that has more than just a couple words. We want to hear from you, Phil. You got a lot of important things to say.
And you can hear them on the Virtual Pizza podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks for the tenor,
yes,
Phil.
We can, in fact, hear them on the Virtual Pizza
contest.
Podcast.
We can have a contest if you want.
We could have a contest. I think we could. Maybe we should. But more importantly, Rich, stop playing Minecraft. If you're going to email our show, where are you going to send that email to?
Send that to at OC _ podcast.
That's not an email, though, is it?
No, it is not.
Oh, we did an email as well. Sorry, Phil. I'll clear that up for you as well, mate. It's ocpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you were going to be doing that...
Care of Minecraft.
You're done, Rich. You may silence now. So what Rich was attempting to tell you was actually what you would do for tweeting the show, which is at @OC_podcast. I like to throw curveballs to you guys once in a while, and apparently that was a whopper for Rich there. you can call the show. We do have a voice line. That's 626-506-2763, or as some of the cool people like to say, 626-50-OC-POD. Yeah, there's actually letters on your keypad on your phone. Bet you didn't know that.
Technical stuff, man. Technical stuff.
Yeah. Remember how we promised last week we were going to go back through our iTunes reviews and
did you?
No, not at all. Nope, not a bit.
Stu checks them for the Veteran Gamer Show.
Stu's a good guy.
Owly. Yeah. He does. He's like, somebody's put up a...
Just like that. I was worried I was going to sound like that, so hence why I didn't check today.
No, it's not. It's just because you can't.
But I might just have to check for next week.
Sure you will.
But please, send us... Even if we don't read off your name, do it for the good of it. Send us a review. And help us climb up the charts so more people hear about us.
Uh-huh.
All right, that said, closing comments. Mike, why don't you go first?
Well, we've all got to share Christopher Matthew for bringing in another human being into this world. Well done, Chris. Hope all is well. And, yeah, I'll share John Mouse, Andrew Gold, Jonesy from the Playing Vault as well, Nemesis, for all playing Max Payne, we were playing Max Payne 3 together, and I'll shout out my mate, Iceman Marshy, who doesn't really care for the multiplayer, to be honest, but he enjoyed playing with us, but he says, oh, I'm waiting for Ghost Recon, he loves the single player, but he didn't really care for the multiplayer.
Typical Rockstar multiplayer. With a slow-mo mechanic in it.
Yeah, but, Red Dead was class, so.
No, that's because it was on horseback.
Exactly. That's what I said on the Veteran Gamers. You can check out the Veteran Gamers podcast as well if you're talking on the iTunes. VeteranGamers.co.uk. You can check it out. It's great. There's also a new video on the Veteran Gamers YouTube, which is youtube.com/VeteranGamersUK. You should check it out as well.
More importantly, Mike, they should be checking out your Burger Time video.
Yes, yeah, so the Titanic Burger, which is in Telford. 5,000 calorie burger and chips with a milkshake. And you have to eat it in 45 minutes. I did not partake in this because I'm a wuss when it comes to eating large amounts of food.
But let's be clear. You don't have to eat it in 45 minutes unless you want it for free.
Yeah, and your next meal for free and a T-shirt and your picture up in the restaurant.
Right.
There is a French guy that comes into the restaurant that doesn't eat it in 45 minutes but does eat it eventually. So he works around the corner and he just comes in and takes his time and well done on the Minecraft leverage. Takes his time and eats it all. So yeah, but
I'm pretty sure you could take one of those burgers and send it off to, you know, one of the countries in Africa and probably feed like an entire nation.
Yeah,
for a week.
That's what I did say when they was doing the challenge. I did say meanwhile in Africa. But hey, there is a new video on the Veteran Gamers. By the way, the Max Payne multiplayer video on the Veteran Gamers YouTube channel has just gone crazy, Greg. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's gone mental. It went from 3,000 views to, which is now 21,000 views.
That is insane.
Yep.
It's craziness.
Yep. So
apparently you make a good video, Mike.
Put up another one. I believe I was sending you a message for the listeners. On Friday gone, I gave Greg an insight into my life, sending him pictures of pretty much everything I was doing, audio messages over WhatsApp, video, everything. Of my office.
Which I appreciate it, because I believe it started about 2 o'clock in the morning for me.
Yeah. So I just thought, I'm going to, today, and it was the day I bought Max Payne. So I was like, buying Max Payne, I was trading it in, I didn't know what was going to happen. I'll give Greg an insight to my life. And I sent you a message just before I made the video, and then I sent you a message just after I did it. And I don't know if you've seen that video yet, Greg, probably not.
I have not.
Didn't think so. But if you go to the Veteran Gamers UK YouTube channel, you will see it.
Well, it's kind of like I was living the moment with you, Mike.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious, it is. So have a check it out, Greg. Go on, are you?
Okay, I will.
Mm-hmm. That's me, though. Rich Primrose, go.
I just want to shout out...
Minecraft.
No, Roberto Di Matteo for the Champions League final, because I found that hilarious, the Germans losing on penalties. My setup for, I don't know if anybody saw it on Twitter, but I knew because it was a Chelsea game that it was going to be quite defensive and so on, pretty boring because everybody hangs back when you're in a final. So basically what we did was, in the other living room, I set up a 23-inch LCD screen above the main television with a football on and basically played Minecraft throughout the whole of the Champions League final. And it was like bloke heaven, really enjoyed it. And then also I want to shout out Rambo Amadeus, who tonight...
Amadeus.
Yeah, he was a contestant in the Eurovision Song Contest, which, if Greg's never seen it, he needs to have a look on the internet because it is absolutely hilarious.
Wasn't Jedward in this year?
That was last year, I think.
Was it last year?
Yeah, that was last year, that was.
Alright.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, Christopher Matthew, we love you. Come back soon. Make us have babies.
Please don't.
Yeah. At least not for Mike.
No.
He needs to do that whole wedding thing first.
No, you don't.
Get it in proper order, Mike. Get it in proper order.
I ain't no religious person. Do what I want. I think we're doing, Greg.
I'm not done yet. I want to shout out Mr. Matthew as well.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Good job, Mr. Matthew and Mrs. Matthew. You've made another little one. And, a shout-out to Parsnip. He is a pretty good, sometimes forgetful, about sending in a community spotlight for us. And, I appreciate
that. That was perfect,
the time,
Greg.
Nobody is perfect. This is true.
Apart from Will Smith.
No, not perfect.
He is. He can't do any wrong, can he? Did you see when he slapped that guy on the red carpet? Did you see that?
No, missed that.
He's some guy who went to kiss him on the lips on the red carpet. And he went, pushed him away and then just like give him a light slap on the face, going, "You lucky I don't sack you, man." So, to be fair,
shouting out Will Smith, he is perfect. I take it all back.
You know, if I got that close to Will Smith, I'd be tempted to kiss him on the lips because he's just a great guy.
And I'm going to end with a shout out to the two of you. Thanks for doing the show, guys.
No problem, Greg.
No problem. I've just lost everything.
Why?
And now, we're done.
Jump up, fool.
And so, you know, my son was feeling constipated, so every once in a while we've had to, just because of his condition, kind of assist down there. So lubricant goes a long way in that kind of assistance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we're out of it, so I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go to the store. He was not feeling good. And so Cindy's like, oh, hey, can you do me a favor? And I'm like, sure, what do you need? And I'm like, wait a minute, is this going to be one of those, can you grab me something, honey, that I'm going to regret? And she's like, oh, it's not too bad. I'm like, all right, I look at the list, and it's mouthwash, and then she's like, and could you pick up my makeup? She's like, it just looks like this. It's just a little compact. And I'm like, ah, that's fine.
Oh, no.
I get to CVS, the pharmacy, and I get all the stuff together, and I go to check out, and I realize as I'm checking out, I just look in the basket, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, I've got personal lubricant, mouthwash, and CoverGirl makeup as a hot tranny date.
Richard Primrose, you're playing Minecraft.
I am. I'm trying to work out how to fucking do this.
I can tell because you're just not. I've not got your full concentration.
I'm building a fucking portal to the Neverworld, and I've got Acid Nova not talking to me, but prompting me by building things and telling me where to put blocks. It's crazy, this game is.
But I've only got the time. Can I jump in for a little bit, or do I have to avoid it?
You might be able to join my game, yeah. Try it.
What was this now?
Nothing.
What I miss?
Nothing. It's alright, carry on.
You're alright, mate.
I hate that. That's
alright. You'll find out when you're editing the show.
Oh, sons of bitches. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 168 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. Wait a minute, did I say 168?
I don't know.
It's 169. Damn it.
Well, yeah.
Don't.
Damn it. Alright. Can you actually stop playing though?
No, never.
Rich?
Carry on. Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry, I'm fine. This is Zen gaming. I'm in my zone.
Greg?
Yes, Mike?
It might keep him awake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. Well, this is true.
Didn't it?
My bad. Rich?
Carry on.
Act like I said nothing. Carry on. Here we go.
Bloody lava.
So, is that what's happened? Lava's just come in and...
Lava's just killed me, and I dropped everything.
Oh.
I had loads of iron, and loads of coal, and I had loads of redstone, and I had some obsidian. The bastard.
Rich, I've come to the conclusion, you have an issue with liquid in this game. Water?
I have an issue
lava.
With liquid, full stop, mate.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
We don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.